Hello everybody, my name is Jordan Templeton and I'm presenting a paper titled An Enhanced Cross-Layer Protocol for Energy Efficiency in Wireless Sensor Networks. The main idea of this paper is to improve energy efficiency in wireless sensor networks due to their severe restrictions on system resources. Typically, a wireless sensor node is a very limited energy source, and there's really no practical way to replenish the energy source. It's typically a non-replaceable primary battery, and the lifetime of the energy source dictates the lifetime of the network. This is very different than a typical wireless network that might be run off of, you know, the AC power system and have virtually unlimited power source. The other major difference is the bandwidth requirements. A wireless sensor network is going to generally have very, very, very low bandwidth requirements compared to a typical wireless network. Because of these two large fundamental differences, factors influencing the design of these sensor networks are very different than traditional wireless networks, and pretty much have to come up with a new routing protocol from scratch. One point that should be mentioned that is similar to bandwidth is latency versus throughput. Throughput is not as much of a priority as latency due to the possibility that a sensor network may be monitoring time-sensitive data, and the latency would become a much bigger problem than throughput. Another important objective is to maintain signal or data integrity. The biggest reason for this would be to limit the amount of retransmissions that are necessary in order to effectively transmit data from one node to another. Reducing retransmissions allows for greater efficiency by not wasting energy on retransmissions. There are several previous protocols that have influenced the work on ECLP, and SMAC and TMAC are the two largest influences, and they're actually the sort of the basis of the protocol that is outlined in ECLP. AODV, DSR, and ADMAC are three other protocols that are mentioned in this paper pretty much just for comparison reasons. But all of these protocols suffer from rather high energy consumption compared with the proposed protocol of ECLP. One of the most significant points that sets ECLP apart from SMAC and TMAC, which it's based on, is the addition of the sync reply packet. SMAC and TMAC use a packet called a sync packet in order to just handle data synchronization between one node and another transmissions. The ECLP uses the sync packet for synchronization as well as the configuration of the routing tree. They've also added a sync reply packet, and that carries more information about the communication link between two adjacent nodes. ECLP utilizes the sync packet more for configuration of the routing tree rather than for communication synchronization. Because of this, they've added five additional fields to the sync packet in ECLP. They've added a routing length, a routing cost, a relative remaining energy threshold, an identification for parent nodes for a single node, and a status value. The routing length and routing cost parameters in the packet are both 1 byte in size each, and are therefore a value of 0 to 255. The status parameter is the smallest value. It's only 2 bits. There's 4 possible states for the status message: intermediate, leaf, danger, and emergency. Intermediate indicates that a node is a parent to some nodes and a leaf to other nodes. The leaf status indicates that it's essentially that a node is essentially the last node in the communication stream. The danger message indicates that the remaining energy of the node has dropped below its preset threshold, and so its lifetime is coming to an end, and to increase that lifetime, it will not participate in any multi-hop operations. It will only transmit its own data. So it will cease to act as a relay node for other. So this will require a little bit of restructuring of the network when this happens. And the emergency status message indicates that the node is inoperable, that there's something wrong with it. The sync reply packet is not used in SMAC or TMAC. It is unique to ECLP and was added. It's very similar to the sync packet. However, two of the 5 values are exchanged. The routing length value is replaced with a total routing length value that is used to keep track of the hop count, the number of hops in that branch of the tree, and the parent value is replaced with a sync value for identifying the node. The initial configuration of a routing tree is started at the sync node and sort of branches out to the other nodes. The very first step is to transmit a sync packet from the sync node to its immediate adjacent nodes. When these neighbor nodes receive the sync packet from the sync node, they pass a new sync packet on to their neighbors, and so on, until all of the nodes have received a sync packet. The routing cost and routing length values of the sync packet are the two main values that are used to structure the tree. Initially, all sensor nodes have their routing length and routing cost values set to 255, which is the maximum possible value since they're each a single byte parameter. The sync node starts out with a routing length value of 0 and a routing cost value of 255. The routing length value in the sync packet is incremented by 1 each time a node receives it and then retransmit it. So that kind of establishes sort of a hierarchy, and that's the basis of the tree structure. Each node locally calculates its own routing cost value, and that is also included in the sync packet before it transmits a sync packet. Each node chooses its own parent nodes, and that decision is based on the routing length and routing cost values. The first value that is checked for a node is the routing length, and if there are 2 values of routing length that are the same, then the lower routing cost value is chosen in order to choose the parent node. This configuration of the tree is confirmed by each node sending back a sync reply packet to the previous node, the node that sent it its own sync packet. The main purpose of the sync reply packet is to allow a hop count to be established. The configuration of the routing tree is dynamic and changes when there's a failure of a node or a movement of a node. This routing protocol is also tolerant of mobile sensor nodes, you know, such as a situation where you might be monitoring wildlife or, you know, various other situations where nodes may be mobile. So the routing process can occur repeatedly. The main reason for reconfiguration of the routing tree is a link failure being detected. A link failure could be caused by a wireless sensor node becoming disabled, interference in an area, or if it were to move too far away. In the case of a mobile node, it may move out of range of its radio. ECLP utilizes ready to send and clear to send messages, and this is also how failures are detected. A sensor node that wants to transmit data first sends out a ready to send message, and it will resend the ready to send message after a pre-specified timeout period. If it attempts 3 tries and does not receive a clear to send message from its intended node, it will assume that there's a failure in that communication link and will take action. The first course of action to recover from a failed link is for the node that detected the failed link to simply look in its neighbor list and see if it has an alternate neighbor that it can choose. That's the easiest first choice that it takes. The node that detected that link failure will also set its routing length value to 255 for its original parent in order to remind itself, essentially, that that node is disabled and not to try communicating with it. The next step in link failure recovery is for the node that was originally trying to send data to send out a path error packet. This packet is very similar to a sync packet, but it has an identification field in it to alert any node that receives it that it needs a new parent. And so it essentially triggers a restructuring of that section of the routing tree. The main source of energy efficiency for this routing protocol, ECLP, comes from its adaptive duty cycling. Duty cycling allows a node to spend a great deal of time in sleep mode, pretty much any time it's not transmitting, receiving, or actually sensing. It will be asleep. The sleep period is initiated by the elapsing of a timeout period, and the timeout period is dynamic. It changes depending on the behavior of the node and its system requirements. The reservation ready to send packet is sent out just in case there are multiple nodes awake at the time when a node is preparing to transmit its data. By sending out the RRTS packet, it will let the other nodes know that it's about to transmit, and that allows them to just go back to sleep so that they don't have to stay awake and overhear a message that will be useless to them and do nothing but waste their energy. The performance evaluation of ECLP was carried out by comparing the protocol to four other protocols. It's compared to IEEE 802.11 with AODV and IEEE 802.11 with DSR. It was also compared to SMAC with AODV and SMAC with DSR. The testing was only performed via simulation. There was no actual wireless sensor network deployed in the field or anything like that. It was simply simulated using NS2, which is a network simulation software. The simulation was run to simulate average energy consumption and average end-to-end delay for communications. Each of these two simulations was run twice, once with 20 nodes and once with 50 nodes. A fifth simulation was carried out to look at control overhead cost. The simulation that was carried out to look at energy consumption due to network control cost was only simulated with 20 nodes. I'm not sure why they didn't use 50 nodes also like they did for the other two simulations. They, in their paper, they didn't give a whole lot of information about the actual simulation. They gave some parameters like energy consumption for receiving, for transmitting, for idle, for sleep, things like that. And they gave bandwidth parameters as well, but they did not give any information as far as the physical topology of the network, like how large was the area. The nodes were randomly distributed, and for the simulation they chose one node randomly and moved it away from the other, I guess, to simulate a dynamic network, but that's not a very indicative, or not a very practical situation for only one node to move and all the others to stay stationary, but that's how they did it. I've included the charts for average energy consumption based on the various simulation results, and the 802.11 IEEE standard had by far the highest energy consumption, and even SMAC was still much higher than ECLP. So ECLP had the lowest energy consumption. And it was interesting because the energy consumption for all three of the protocols was relatively constant regardless of data traffic, regardless of throughput. There was a very slight increase towards the highest data rates, but for the most part, it's pretty constant value, which I found pretty interesting. And it also really didn't matter whether the 802.11 used AODV or DSR, and the same for SMAC. It didn't matter whether they ran it with AODV or DSR. All of the routing protocols seem to significantly increase their average energy consumption with an increase in node count, and the increase seemed pretty proportional. The results for average end-to-end delay for both 20 nodes and 50 nodes both have the lowest delay for IEEE 802.11, and the highest delay was from SMAC, with ECLP being pretty close to the middle between the two. Pretty good compromise, And again, it really didn't seem to matter whether AODV or DSR was used either on SMAC or 802.11. It should be noted that the end-to-end delays, they increased significantly for all the protocols with an increase in node count, which is what I would probably expect. But another interesting point is that increasing the data rate did not seem to increase end-to-end delay. It was pretty minimal increase there. For the control overhead, basically the amount of energy consumed just for the network configuration portion of it, and just for managing the network, the paper only included data for a 20 node simulation. I'm not really sure why they didn't use a 50 node simulation like they used for the other parameters, but PCLP seemed to have significantly lower overhead costs compared to SMAC and 802.11. 802.11 and SMAC had nearly identical results for their overhead cost. And an interesting point is all three of them had a nearly, relatively exponential increase in overhead costs for increasing data rate. All right, so for a conclusion, the primary impact on average energy consumption is mainly based on node quantity, which kind of makes sense because there's going to be a lot more overhead with maintaining and managing a network with more and more nodes. But it didn't seem to be affected much by data rate, and I don't think I would expect that. I would expect energy consumption to increase with data rate, but I observed differently in their data. ECLP seemed to have the lowest energy consumption, and 802.11 had the highest. I would expect 802.11 to have the highest because it was never intended for, it wasn't originally designed for wireless sensor networks. It was designed for personal computers and requires a lot higher bandwidth, so the design concerns were different. Also, IEEE 802.11 seemed to have the lowest end-to-end delay, and that's kind of what I would expect since it was originally designed for very high bandwidth for personal computing, just wireless networks for personal computers. And the energy consumption from network control, just the overhead for maintaining a network and managing it, regardless of data traffic, was the most significant portion of the energy consumption. And that would kind of make sense because regardless of data rate, you still have to maintain the network and keep it configured. And that requires periodic transmissions, even if there's no data. And all of that can be optimized by, you know, methods such as ECLP, which aim to have the most efficient control of network. All right. That's my presentation. Thank you.